After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
Hi, everyone. This is Raghu with Ram Dass here. Hi, Ram Dass.
Hello, Raghu.
And this is our Here and Now podcast. By the way, I was going through some other tapes of yours the other day, and this was amazing because it was a talk you gave just before you had the stroke, okay? So, you know, it's kind of the looking, you know, hearing something like that at that moment is a little bit wow. And in it, you said to people, well, I'm going into the radio business. I'm going to start a radio show called Here and Now. I never knew that. And when I picked the title Ram Dass Here and Now for the podcast, I didn't know that. Isn't that amazing? So you ended up doing it anyhow, even though you got stopped by the stroke at that point.
Yeah. That was in L.A.
Right. You were going to do it in L.A., hosted in L.A., right?
Yeah.
Well, now it's being hosted worldwide.
Oh, I see.
There you go. So everybody, of course, is tuning in. How are you? Because everybody's going to want to know, how are you these days?
Well, I'm joyful and here now and quiet and contemplative and content.
Mm. All subjects that we're going to talk about today, as I mentioned to you before we got on, we have the course, your course on mindfulness and meditation and pointing in the direction for everybody in terms of how to have a more contemplative life and how to be more content. So we're going to talk about that. And that course is coming up shortly on September 22nd on Friday. It will start. And it is a free course that the Love Server Member Foundation presents on a year-to-year basis, and this time we've really expanded it to include some mantra practice, which is another form of meditation. And Ram Dass, you did some fabulous mantras. You used to do work with audiences. You still do. We still do out in Maui. But there's really great mantras that you have practiced in the past. So I think everybody will get a real tutorial about how to use those mantras. Just talk about that for a minute. The use of these mantras as a centering device. The first one you brought back was the first time I had ever heard Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram.
it's a repetitive phrase, and the meaning is Ram is Ram over all.
The absolute.
Ram, the mantras usually the names of God, they're names of the One, and they bring your mind to the One, to the all-encompassing. To the oneness behind the universe. Mm-hmm. And so any name of the One, and of course Hinduism has a lot of names.
Yeah.
And Judaism has only one. And so the names are different colorings of like Ram is love, and Ram, and Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram. If you a bhakti universe, and then you go from your soul and then go from your soul to the One. And everything that your ego looks at we get confused by our minds, and we say that this is reality.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it's the one part of the reality. And just your life, your incarnation, this life, is a school to help your soul shed the karma.
Yeah.
And it has got that karma from past lives or from the past in this life. So you will be a pure being, a pure soul, and then you are a pure soul can enter into the Atman, the place in your soul where God hangs out, and the Guru hangs out. You have a Guru. Everybody has a Guru. The Guru helps you to merge with the One.
And would you say these names, these mantras, which are, as you said, different representations of different colors, I like that term, of God, that these mantras are like a boat which carries you to that space of the One. And that is a major purpose of the repetition of these names. And they do say in this, the Kali Yuga age, the age of destruction, which seems to be happening, it is most efficacious to repeat the name. Right? Now,
yeah.
At the same time, in the opening week of this course, you had talked in an earlier talk about building a foundation, that every individual needs to build a foundation to enter onto the spiritual path, to tread the spiritual path, to navigate it. And I believe that much of what you talk about, especially when you had first come back from India, which really struck me, was the vantage point from which you start to see how you look at the universe, how you look at your world, rather. And, of course, Be Here Now, the famous book and the famous phrase, is endemic to anyone's ability to have a foundation, to be completely in the present moment, as you speak of and have spoken of so much. And it's a little bit of how to get there, and that's why we included the mantras that you just talked about as a method. Of course, the other methods that you have taught and you yourself have used, Vipassana, one-pointed Anapana meditation, heart meditations, and of course, this course has several of examples for people to practice and try and see which one fits them. But you've also talked about one thing in one of these talks. You've talked about Ramana Maharshi and his main teaching around self-inquiry. And I think that we gloss over a little bit the usefulness of self-inquiry, that because we come from the bhakti tradition, but you spent many a year teaching. Now that teaching about self-inquiry, teaching about finding out what is the vantage point, the perspective that you are seeing your universe, your world at. And who am I is a pretty good thing to ask yourself. Can you just talk about that a little bit?
It's a pretty good thing.
Yeah.
I've spent many hours trying to plumb the depths of my self-knowledge. And I studied with the Beady Walla.
The Beady? Who's? Not Nisargadatta. Was it Nisargadatta Maharaj?
Yeah.
Mumbai?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And he was that path.
Advaita.
And also Papa.
Papaji, yeah.
Papaji.
Yeah, in Lucknow. Yes, that's right.
Lucknow, yeah. And they use the mind, use a different yoga of the mind to go from this plane here, the ego plane, to the one.
Yeah.
And we are bhakti yogis because the bhakti yogis, we start stepwise to get from one place to the other place. The identity with our soul and stepwise before we get to the one. They go from the
self-inquiry.
Yeah. They'll do it from self-inquiry.
Right.
It's when you find out you are where you are at, then you say, my perspective about the universe is affected by where you are at. So you're studying each one of everything around you. Your perception is affected by what you are, and you work with that. You and I have different perspectives. Like looking at a tree. I have perspective about my farm, my in New Hampshire. I was cutting down trees. And I would look at a tree as how much wood and how difficult it is to cut. But then I changed my perspective about trees. I saw the beauty of a tree. I saw that the tree was a manifestation of the One. A tree is love. The tree is consciousness. Now I have a different perspective.
Yeah. Well, and that's so through your life, self-awareness, even though, and I say we, are on a bhakti path, Maharaji certainly, without telling us to do anything, we all were used as a methodology, self-awareness in one way or the other. Yours, and this is in the next week, actually, talking about, or one the week after, actually, talking about the witness. And that was a major methodology that you used, that all of us used, one way or the other. Through some of us through Southern Buddhist teachings, some of us through the Advaita teachings that you just talked about with those teachers that you were with, some of us with the Tibetan Buddhist teachings around awareness, the witness. Now, of course, the big byword, which is part of our course, is mindfulness, which was in back in the day when we were learning all of this stuff. It was less of a pop culture term, so to speak. But that self-awareness and that change in perspective and the example you gave is, I believe, of paramount importance alongside of any of the paths or methods that you may choose or that you may be involved in, and certainly with the one that we are on, of bhakti yoga. Now, you yourself, and maybe you can tell this story a little bit, because one of the talks that you gave and one very important part of the course is around developing one-pointedness through, in this case, through the breath. Now, you, if you would like, just tell that story of being, of the trials and tribulations of going through a very intensive meditation in Burma, I think you were in, and how that affected the bhakti path for you.
Well, the Burma time was Southern Buddhism, and Upandita was the master.
Great meditation teacher.
And he was a taskmaster. And just keeping you on the breath. I was taught by many, many meditation teachers. When we went to Kosani, that was because I was making a summer plan, Manindra.
Yeah.
Manindra was another meditation teacher. And I wanted to learn from him. And he was going to go in this place in the mountains, Himalayas. And so I I said to Maharaji, I'm going to take this meditation, and then he said, if you want, he was saying, come on, you don't have to go into meditation teaching. If you want to, go ahead. But and then when I, when a group of six of us got to that place, Kosani, and we were settled in, and the meditation teacher wrote to us and said that his mother was sick, and he was have to stay home. And then we saw a whole lot of Westerners come to that place. And then they were coming because Maharaji, he said, Ram Dass will teach you meditation.
Yeah.
So we arranged the Gandhi Ashram to a meditation retreat. Yeah. taught by me. And here the meditation teacher has gone, and I have to teach meditation. And my perspective about myself in teaching meditation changed. It's a lot of things are within us, and we find self-examination for example, the soul has the witness, love, compassion, wisdom, joy, peace. These are all inside of us. And your perspective about yourself you identify with the soul. But the soul is a different plane of consciousness. It's soul land. And you enter into the soul land you identify with yourself as a soul, and then other people as souls. It was a teaching from Maharaji. He told me to love everybody and tell the truth. And I said to him, Maharaji, I can't do that. Since I was identified with my ego. But when I identified with my soul, of course, I love everybody. I tell the truth.
Well, that is the absolute, as far as I'm concerned, basic foundation.
And when you identify with yourself as the soul, you radiate love. And soulless. You can mirror the souls of other people.
Right.
You can help them on the spiritual path.
Right. As I was saying, that is the real foundation. For this course.
It's teaching you all these things. Self-inquiry. How to see the one. Then we're going to methods. Methods of meditation, methods of singing, methods of using a mala, a prayer. What's it called?
Mala?
Yeah, mala, but what's it?
Japa. So japa is definitely part of what this course is about, and mantra is definitely what it's about as well. But I love what how you brought forth the true foundation, which you talk about in this course, is basically a re-identification with soul. I mean, that's probably the easiest way, the most simple way to put it. And
yeah,
once that happens, and I love what you said about once that happens, then you mirror that place in in everyone else that you meet, so that they have a chance to come out of their ego mind and all of that, and can, you know, sit in the soul, in soul land, as you said. Yeah, that's the foundation, certainly, of this course. But I have to tell you one thing though. When you were talking about going to Koh Sani, of course, I was part of those six people where we were together in that little cabin up in the Himalayas, where you just walked 50 feet and you saw the whole horizon of 29,000 foot peaks. I mean, it was spectacular. Okay. And it was my first foray. And yeah, the meditation teacher didn't come. So then you had to teach the meditation. Okay. I don't even know if I've ever told you this story, but we fixed up a little cow shed, and that's where we would sit in meditation every day for many hours. And that cow shed apparently had been a place where earlier part of last century, Harikan Baba, a great, great saint of the Himalayas, had meditated in that place. And I've always felt such a great connection with him. And so you taught Vipassana meditation and just the basic on breath meditation. I had never really, I had done TM before, okay? I did not know how to meditate, period. Because unfortunately, that didn't really take with me, whatever reason, TM thing. And so you taught this meditation and literally, maybe after a few days, not long after, because I assiduously because I trusted you, I took this up with real purpose. And I had a very deep absorption experience that was the entrance for me into meditative practice. From that day to this day, I have used that practice. It was entirely invaluable. I can't ever thank you enough, really, for it. And the interesting part was I had recognized certain aspects of that meditation reminded me that it had happened to me, this feeling of very, very heaviness inside my body and letting go, which is an archetypical thing of the first absorption practice. When I was like 8 years old, I had had this experience. And in that moment, I remembered it. So this was a spectacular thing. So when you say Maharaji, you said, Maharaji, we're going to go meditate up in the mountain, you know, in Koh Samui. And he said, if you wish. And you said, it was like he said, you know, do you really think you need to do that when you're, you know, you're hanging out with me? Kind of thing is what you said. On the other hand, that's one level of reality, okay? To me, the other level is this was so instrumental in changing my practice or giving me a practice. And I know that's directly because he sent me up there. He said, go up there and meditate with Ram Dass. Remember, you didn't want anybody up there. We knew each other, but not well. And Krishna Das, you know, who I've said this before in a podcast, he said, you can't come because you weren't in Bodh Gaya and you don't know how to do Vipassana meditation. So how can you come? I said, he told me to come, I'm coming. You know, Krishna Das. So you, of course, were much more compassionate at the time. And so, look, this is what happened. But what I was trying also to bring forth earlier in this conversation was the Burmese meditation. You said after you came out, and this was later, this is after that second sojourn in India, I think in the mid-late 70s maybe you went to Burma. I don't quite remember. But when you came back, and you have said this before, so I'm kind of reminding you, after that months, I believe 3 months, you spent a long time there. You said, what I got out of this meditation really helped me in terms of the bhakti path, because it gave me complete one-pointedness and ability to absorb myself in love of God, right? So
and concentrating on Maharaji.
Yeah. Right. Right. So, I think that's a really important point, how these are not, there's a lot more commonality in how they fit in together, these different methods and different paths than meets the eye at times. And, you know, the bhakti people look askance at the Advaitas, and the Advaitas think that the bhaktis are sloppy, and all of that goes on. But in reality, Maharaji was nothing but Advait. I mean, he was completely non-dual. In fact, on Krishnadas points out from time to time, on the entrance to Kenchi, it was Sri Neem Karoli Baba Advaita, non-dual temple, okay? And it's no longer there, but that was what was written in the very beginning. So, you know, pretty amazing stuff. So we've taught you, fortunately, covered the witness, which is covered in this course. And then the very last thing that is covered in the course is loving awareness. And that is a major, major teaching of yours. And these days, and has been for the last number of years. And it's obviously moving, and you've said this just earlier in this podcast, moving from ego mind into soul, spiritual heart, intuitive, that place from which there's no judgment, there's love, and there's peace, and there's joy, and so on. I think one of the difficult things that you might just mention for talk about for a minute is that once people do enter into that space through the can be through the repetition of the mantras, as we talked about, or through getting one pointed, moving into the heart space and being able to feel that warmth and love. Many people, what happens is one of two things. Either the fear comes up when you get close to love. Then the mind and the ego starts reacting. And I know personally it's happened to me as well many times. And the other and so then that fear starts to really take over and wants to throw you outside of this place because it's a fear of dying. How do we break through and allow that love to take a foothold?
The thoughts of the ego, these thoughts will not help you in the spiritual path. And you feel weighed down with these thoughts. And you journey to the witness in the soul, and you're witnessing these are not helping. And then you love them because the witness is in the soul, and the soul loves. If you do anything with them other than love them, it will damage your soul. The soul, I am loving awareness, loving awareness, loving awareness, loving awareness, loving awareness. That's the soul. That's the soul. So it's just hard to love negative things. I just like them, just like you love people who you see as negative.
When you're around negative people, yeah, you may be more likely to tend to treat them with love because you feel compassion for them. But when you yourself have negative thoughts, you are less likely to have compassion and treat them with compassion. I think that's what you were saying, right?
Yeah.
That's a mind-blowing thing.
Yeah.
Why do we do that? We have no caring for ourselves.
Well, identification is ego, with the ego. And I find that my identification with my soul, the soul, I love everybody. I love the walls. I love the trees. I love everybody listening. Everybody. I love my wheelchair. I love my stroke. It brings me love. Brings me so close to manifestations of the One. And my puja table has Ram and Hanuman and Mary and Buddha and Christ and Maharaji. And President Trump. Because he's hard to love.
Yeah.
For me, anyway. For me. And that means that picture I saw that picture. I see that Trump. I'm looking at it as from my ego. I know him only by the things he's doing in the incarnation.
Yeah, the negative stuff.
I don't know his soul. I don't know the soul of Trump. I feel compassion for that soul who's got to go through this incarnation. And he helps us in our spiritual path because he shows us that inside us is fear, is anger, all those negative things. we root them out and love them. In this incarnation, Trump is a pawn to help us. It's like in the Ramayana, the bad guy they say he's bad, this incarnation. Well, he in a previous incarnation, he's a very good sadhu. So the badness was a role of that bad guy.
Ravana,
yes.
Thing is, he knew he was bad, though. He knew he was bad. And he knew he was going to get killed by God and be liberated. Little difference there. It's a small one. You know what I love, though, Ram Dass? And this is like a blatant commercial here for the autumn mindfulness and meditation course from you. If you want to learn how to root out negativity and love it, take this course. That's about the best thing I've heard. I mean, in terms of somebody saying, okay, give us the most concise idea of what can happen and what the outcome may be if you take this course. Okay, Ram Dass said, root out negativity inside of us and love it. And in this example with President Trump being a pawn for eliciting a lot of negativity that we can root out and love. I think that's a great thing. Yeah. Well, thank you for this, Ram Dass. And I think everybody will appreciate some of what you said here that really can help identify what you have represented for these many, many, many years in enabling us all, as you did with me in that, in teaching me directly Vipassana, that those days in Kosani, which I've never mentioned to you yet for whatever reason. And I think that people can get a lot out of this course. There's so many different methods, as you said, and that are available and resonate with each person differently. So, yeah, very nice.
This course becomes sort of all in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you you took and were open to so many different teachings over your lifetime. And now, as you sit in Maui, embodying the loving awareness teaching that is in the fourth week of this course, and I think that's it shows that there is a potential, and it doesn't happen instantly, but if you're certainly put yourself into it, this is a gradual evolvement for everyone eventually. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Ram Dass here and now, and this is Raghu Marcus, and Ram Dass and I will See you next time. Meanwhile, go to ramdas.org/meditate and link up, and there's a page which describes everything that you will get in this course. It's on a wonderful platform that our wonderful Rachel Fisher has put together. Very easy to navigate. Includes this great journal that you can download with all sorts of preparatory teachings from Ram Dass about these subjects, and that you can record your experiences in, downloads and videos, and there's a Ram Dass, there's a wonderful Facebook group where people get together. Right now, I think there's over 1,000 people who decided they wanted to be able to communicate with each other about their experiences, and the course hasn't even started, so there's a great community aspect to the course as well. So again, please go. It's entirely free. Of course, we do ask people to support through donations and so on so that we can continue to do this work, providing these courses. But ramdas.org/meditate, and we hope to see you in the course. And Ram Dass, again, thank you. Namaste.
Namaste.
This podcast is brought to you by the Love Serve Remember Foundation and ramdas.org. We appreciate you listening, and we appreciate all the support that you've given us. Please continue that support and donate at ramdas.org. We can then continue to share what Ram Dass has been sharing for all of these years. Thank you.